Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 339, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O Lord, my earnest cry, thy listening ear has heard. With thy salvation answer me, and I will keep thy word. And what follows, Psalter 339, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 3, the verses 14 through 22. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 3, beginning with verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou wert neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou wert lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We hope to remember in prayer Marieke van Harten, who did not begin her treatments this past week, but hopes to begin on Wednesday. Mrs. Nell van Harten, who had surgery this past Friday. And Mrs. Tony Slingeland, who was scheduled for surgery this Friday. Mr. and Mrs. David Elliman, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy. And Hank and Elvin Harden hope to commemorate their 55th wedding anniversary on Thursday. And Mrs. Basin of Grand Rapids hopes to commemorate her 80th birthday on the 6th of October. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy condescending mercy and in thy great goodness, that thou wast granted another Lord's Day. Then thou wast watched over each and every one of us in the week gone by. Then thou wast watched over us in the home, on the way, at school, at work, on the field, wherever we were called to be. And that for a people that are all lying under the sentence of death, Lord, may it please thee to grant a true and abiding impression of thy goodness and of thy long-suffering, where we have been recipients of so many blessings from heaven, where it is written in thy holy word that every good, every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of a turning. Then thou wast yet been a faithful God for an unfaithful people. Then thou wast granted beautiful weather, that the crops may be harvested, which thou wast given so abundantly to grow, O Lord. May it then be all thy goodness that may lead us and our children to that true and that upright repentance and a need for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then over against all thy goodness. Then our sins, they have been manifold. And Lord, thou knowest that by nature what unthankful creatures we are, that we take so much for granted, that we find it so normal. Oh, while thou makest such a great difference with most of our fellow travelers, traveling to that never-ending eternity, and also for us and our children, then we have all come one week closer to that final meeting with thee. Then thou wast given another week of grace where we may be given to seek thee, a week that we can never do over again, and a week that we must give an account of. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, then we humbly ask thee that thou may remember us as a people, poor sinners. Ah, may there have come a poor sinners to thy house, but look down upon us in the sun of thine eternal love, and that the King may stretch forth his mighty arm, and that he may stop and rescue sinners, young and old, that they may be stopped, and that it may become reality before it becomes reality at the time, and that they may find a place at thy footstool, and as poor, condemned, worthy sinners to be given to beg for mercy. Lord, may truly thy kingdom come, that it may be the set time, that thou may favor thy Zion. It is a dark time. Then thou wert speaking over the whole earth. Wilt thou grant unto us and our children that deaf ears may be unstopped, and that we may be given to hear the voice of the mighty God, and turn unto thee, oh, to be saved, by free and sovereign grace, Lord. And may there be a hastening for our life's sake, where the time is short, and where the time is serious. Remember thy children. Wilt thou grant that special opening at the throne of grace, the spirit of prayer and of supplication and of thanksgiving, that tender, that dependent life, to hear thy voice and to feel thy embrace and to be given to rejoice in the wonderful works of the Lord, the strengthening of faith, oh, to look upon that precious mediator who was willing to come upon this earth, who was suffered and died, who was cried out, it is finished, and as that mighty King, that teaching prophet, that atoning, that praying, thanking high priest, at thy right hand. Lord, remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember all those that labor therein, thy servants, those that are becoming old, those that are weak. Remember elders and deacons, those that labor on the mission field. Wilt thou remember the widows of thy servant, also the widow of thy servant who was given to serve this people for many years, when in this week she hopes to commemorate, to remember that she has reached the age of the strong, O Lord. Wilt thou remember her in her lonely station, and may it please thee to be a husband unto her. Wilt thou remember the manifold needs in our midst. Oh, that daughter that has received heavy tidings, oh Lord. Wilt thou remember her when she is overwhelmed. Give her a place at thy footstool. And may she be given to cry unto thee, And may it please thee to bless the means, and that this solemn calling may come forth out of thy right hand, for the saving of her never dying soul. Oh, well, I remember her mother, who underwent surgery in this past week, and then hitherto thou hast made all things well. O wilt thou further remember her, give healing and strengthening. Remember her together with her husband and family, when in this week they hope to commemorate and to remember that thou hast spared them for 55 years in the bond of holy matrimony. Then also in the months that lie behind, and father had a serious surgery, and thou hast helped them through. O wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart remember them, for body and for soul. Another old mother is scheduled for surgery toward the end of this week. O wilt thou go with her to the hospital. O wilt thou guide the hand of the physicians, remember her, together with her husband for body and for soul. O wilt thou remember all under the doctor's care, all the relatives, different circumstances they are known unto thee. Then we commend them all unto thee and all, Lord. When thou granteth health and strength, may we not take it all for granted, but may we be given to see thy hand therein, and in a way of prosperity, we read of the children of Israel, when they have waxed fat, that they have forgotten thee. Then it has pleased thee in the past week, to bless a father and mother for the first time in their married life, with the birth of a little son. Then thou wast spared life, then thou wast given life. Wilt thou grant a humble heart and a prayer, that it may be a little child born to be born again, one for thy honor and for thy glory. Wilt thou remember all the unborn with the mothers? Wilt thou remember the barren ones in our midst? Lord, bless all the labors of our hand. Then we also commend unto thee the labors on the parking lot. May it continue to prosper in thy hand. Wilt thou keep from harm and from accidents, teach us all how dependent we are upon thee for everything. And may it be also in the way of providence that many a times that we may be given to see thy special hand. May it be upon answers, upon prayer. Thou hast said in thy word, open wide thy mouth, and I will fill it. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help in this morning hour. And may it please thee to instruct us out of thy holy word, and that it may not only be heard by our ears, but that we may receive hearts to perceive, anoint then with fresh oil from above. And may it please thee to take away everything that could be a hindrance in this morning hour. Wilt thou bind the devil fast, give a good hour in thy house, and that with an impression that it is all sinned away. But, Lord, be then mindful of us and bless us with thy special favor, and with thy special presence, grant tokens of thy favor in the conversion of sinners, and for the edification of thy people, we ask it, in the pardoning of all of our sins, In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 104, the stanzas 1, 2, and 9 and 10. With firm resolve I held my peace, and spake not either bad or good, lest I should utter sinful thoughts, while wicked men before me stood. And what follows, Psalter 104, the stanzas 1, 2, 9 and 10, and the extra collection today is for the school. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture we have read together, Revelation 3, the verses 14 through 22, and we shall read the verses 15, 16, and 17. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Our text words speak of the letter to Laodicea, the lukewarm church, with five thoughts in the first place, the church's true condition. In the second place, the church's deluded opinion. In the third place, Christ's precious counsel. In the fourth place, Christ's serious knocking. And in the fifth place, Christ's everlasting triumph. The letter to Laodicea, the lukewarm church. The church's true condition. The church's deluded opinion. Christ's precious counsel. Christ's serious knocking. And Christ's everlasting triumph. Beloved congregation, in this morning hour we are called upon to consider the last letter that the exalted Christ, which John has beheld on the island of Patmos, and that is the church of Laodicea. Then in these letters, then we see that there is a great variety concerning the message, and also a great contrast. The last time we have considered the letter to the Church of Philadelphia, and what a blessed church that was, where there was no rebuke, but the church was commended, the church was encouraged, and then we have heard it concerning that church. Because thou wast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And then the promise, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. But now concerning the congregation of Laodicea, then it is such a different message. This congregation, it was a church that was east of Ephesus, west of Colossae, and south of Philadelphia. And concerning this church, closely connected in a certain sense to the congregation of Colossians. And then in that letter, that epistle, we write the church of Laodicea mentioned four times. And then it is evident from that letter that Paul has never been in that church, because I read in Colossians 2 verse 1, for I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Thus then it is clear that the Apostle Paul, that he has not been in that congregation, but then we read in Colossians 1 verse 7 that Epaphras was their minister and undoubtedly was also instrumental in the institution of the congregation of Laodicea. And then in the letter that Paul has written to the Colossians, approximately 30 to 35 years before this letter was sent to the church, then at that time we do not read of special concerns. But now when John was on the island Patmos and Christ has written that letter to this congregation, then there were grave concerns. And then Christ has written a profound and a heavy message to that congregation. And what is now the purpose? Because we have heard of solemn things. But then in verse 18 we read, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And then in the congregation of Laodicea, then on the marketplace of free and sovereign grace, where those precious things were displayed and where they were declared, then there were so few that have come to that marketplace. And to that end, O Christ, for that congregation, to rebuke, to reprove, but to uncover and to instruct, that they may be given to feel their need. Because this city, it was a very rich city. The Lord has prospered them outwardly. They have become very independent. History tells us that in AD 60, when the Lord has sent a great earthquake, and that city has been destroyed, then Rome has offered them much help. But they were proud, they were independent, and they have declared that they could take care of themselves. And now, alas, it seems that that prosperity in that congregation, that it had a detrimental effect upon the spiritual life of the Church of God, that with their riches, with their prosperity, that they were so busy, they were on a trade route, they have prospered, that they did not need the Lord outwardly so much. Oh, they still had religious duties. There was still religion. But that had a detrimental effect also on their spiritual life, that they were not so oftentimes as poor beggars at the throne of grace. Then in this congregation, then it is true, we do not read of a Balaam, we do not read of the sin of the Nicolaitans, we do not read of Jezebels, no. Oh, we do not read of those matters in this church. And nevertheless, the Lord Jesus Christ, who seeth all things and knoweth the heart also of his children, has seen that it was not prosperous in this church. And now we read, and unto the angel of the church, whether that angel was still Epaphras, or whether the Lord has taken him into glory, that is not clear. That is not written in history. And unto the angel of the church, thus that angel was included in the message, right? These things saith the Amen. And that means that the Lord is true, that it shall verily be. And also what Christ writes in this letter, that it shall surely come to pass. And concerning that Amen, that concerns the promises for the church of God, and that also concerns the judgments, then the Lord is the Amen concerning His holy word, that it is all true, that it shall come to pass. Oh, for the church of God, what a comfort it is that He is that Amen, that not one of the good words which He has spoken, that it shall come to pass. Do we not read in the epistle to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20, that the promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. But He is not only the Amen, He is the faithful and true witness. Many times mankind can have the wrong impression of their neighbor, but the Lord, do we not read in Psalm 139, that He is that everywhere present God, that He is omniscience, that He sees the inner recesses of our heart. Thus then Christ is saying to the congregation of Laodicea, what I now shall write, what you shall now hear in the midst of the congregation, that is, I am the faithful and the true witness. Thus Christ does not flatter the congregation, but He declares how matters stand. Thus what a solemn address when the congregation has heard this letter read. Oh, it was by the Amen it shall certainly be, but He is the faithful one and the true witness. Thus what He is declaring in the midst of this congregation, it is nothing but the truth. Oh, do we not read in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now, what has Christ written? Then we read, I know thy works, an expression that we have heard in each of the letters to the seven churches. Congregation, have we given those words some thought? Have we now thought that the Lord also knoweth our works? From our boys and girls, our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, and that the Lord not only knoweth them, but He also records them. They are written in His book. And how is it now with our works? Have we now learned our many and great sins? Have we now become a poor sinner? Oh, have we come to the marketplace of free and sovereign grace? Have we learned that even our best works, that they are polluted with sin? Do I not read in Isaiah 64 that our righteousnesses, that they are as filthy rags? Oh, have we learned that we are condemned worthy before the Lord? and that we cannot stand before a holy and a righteous God. Oh, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, and now what is necessary, that we are uncovered to our need, and that is by the first time, and each time by renewal. Oh, people of God, when has been the last time that we truly, that we have come to the marketplace of free and sovereign grace, without money and without price, with our sins, oh, that we may receive, as we read in the book of Genesis, the brothers of Joseph, when by renewal, when their sacks were empty, then they have went to Joseph by renewal, and then their sacks were filled. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, then it is clear from the scriptures, Psalm 33 verse 6, John 1 verse 1, that concerning the work of creation, it is true in the economy of the three divine persons, especially ascribed to the Father. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. But then it is clear that it was also the work of the Son and also the work of the Spirit, the beginning of the creation of God, but now also the beginning of that recreation, and that is the wonderful work of regeneration, when the Lord by His Spirit, when He begins that good work, when it becomes reality in our life, when we learn who the Lord is, and when we learn who we are, and that we are given to cry unto the Lord, the beginning. Oh, then that congregation of Laodicea, when they have heard the beginning of the creation of God, then they were called to consider whether there was a beginning in their life, young and old. Has there now been a beginning? Are there souls that may have a little hope that there is a beginning, that it has become different, that your heart goes out after the Lord and His communion, that we have experienced that separation? Oh, to miss the Lord is worse than death, that we have become a beggar. Oh, that we have learned, I know thy works, that the Lord has seen all our works from our youth, as a David not prayed in Psalm 25 verse 7, sins of youth remember not, the beginning of the creation of God. Thus then it is different than that message that Christ has given to that church of Smyrna. There were two congregations that have not received any rebuke. That was Smyrna and Philadelphia. Other churches, they were commended, but they were also reproved. But this church is reproved. But now for the church of Smyrna, then Christ has addressed them. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. But in this church, the beginning of the creation of God, that in the first place, that church in their lowly state, that they may closely examine their hearts, whether there was a beginning, and whether it was a true beginning, whether they have begun with God, or whether God has begun with them. That can be the question of those souls. When the Lord works, are there a few such souls? That has become at times the question. Oh, you cannot deny that it has become different, But has the Lord now begun with us, or have we now begun with the Lord and now to this church? Then Christ does not say, I am the beginning and the ending, but I am the beginning, that church in their lowly state, that they would not quickly say, but the Lord shall finish, it is true. But when we read the condition of this church, and when they would speak those words, then it would be from their head and not from their heart. Because when it may be an exercise, I am the Alpha and the Omega, what a comfort that is, and what a truth, because the Lord shall never forsake the work of his own hands. But Christ in this letter, then he is pointing that church that they may examine their hearts concerning the fruits of the work of the Lord. And now we read, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. They tell us that in the vicinity of this church, that there were hot springs and that there were also cold springs. And both springs, that water that was gathered, that was useful, that had a purpose. But now Christ says to this church that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm. And now in this letter to the church, then Christ does not separate between the converted and the unconverted, but he speaks to the whole congregation concerning the fruits of their life. And now we must make a separation concerning the state and concerning the condition. What do we mean, boys and girls? When we speak of the state of a person, then we refer to the relationship, to the justice of God. When we are not acquitted, when we are not forgiven, then we are still standing guilty before the justice of God. But when the child of God may experience that acquittal, then they are free. And now concerning that state, of course, from the Lord's side, through the finished work of his beloved Son, then from the Lord's side, then it is well. But now it is necessary for the child of God to be led further into the mysteries of salvation. And now for the children of God in this congregation, then from the Lord's side, because I read in Romans 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, then it lies so sure. But now concerning the condition, that speaks of our heart, how it is, that close, that tender, that dependent life. And to that end, then in this letter, then there are not a few text words that speak to the unconverted and then to the people of God, but it speaks to the congregation. And then Christ has declared, oh, that it was better that they were cold or hot, but that they were lukewarm. Thus congregation, it speaks of the church in a backslidden condition, where that tender, where that close life is so missed. The sorrow and confession of sin by the first time, but also by renewal, Thus a lukewarm church, that is a church still form and duty, still a blessing. We have mentioned a few Lord's Day ago what Reverend Franya has said, when the form and duty is all gone, that is a very deplorable condition, still a blessing, when we may hold on to form and duty, but the Lord has a people upon the earth that learn that with that form and duty, then we are so lukewarm. And now concerning that lukewarmness, that is when even form and duty, that there are not those lively desires, that hungering after the righteousness of Christ, that there is not that weeping, not being busy with the things of the Lord. Oh, a lukewarm church, that is a church when the prayer chambers are so empty. Oh, it is true, knees are still bowed, but those lively exercises and that waiting for an answer, oh, that pleading upon the promises of this lukewarm church, they were not so exercised with the coming of the kingdom of Christ and with the glory of his great and worthy name. Then they were satisfied with their religion. Oh, if we would ask that people, how is it, were they happy? Ah, then they knew it was not right. They were lukewarm. Ah, the church knoweth also those times when we may be hot, when the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up, when we are exercised at the throne of grace, oh, begging the Lord that his name may be honored, oh, exercised with that first petition. Ah, the church knows those times when they wish that the whole congregation would be converted, when they are given to cry unto the Lord. Ah, the church knoweth those times when also in an outward way that they are so dependent upon the Lord, when they are brought in need, when they are given to cry, when they may receive an answer, when the Lord sends a raven. But a lukewarm church, ah, that is a church that is not such a preparation for the Sabbath day, where there is much custom. That is a church that is not a luster for the world, that does not make our boys and girls jealous. Oh, what a solemn word for that church of Laodicea. What a word of examination. Form and duty, we have mentioned those special sins of some of the other congregations were not mentioned, but not cold, not hot, not but lukewarm, and to that end, they have not come to the marketplace. Ah, that marketplace that was so empty, oh, undoubtedly, a few, although, of this church, of the church of Sardis, with everything that was amiss, there was still a remnant that have not defiled their garments, that it's still white garments, but that we do not read in this letter, not hot, not cold, but lukewarm congregation. Is that now our picture? And does that now grieve us? Oh, when there may be that grief, then that lukewarm heart already begins to become warm. Oh, when the Lord may send a divine ray of his divine love into the heart, then there shall come a mourning over that lukewarm heart. Oh, is that not a proof? When the Lord grants a heart of flesh, And when he takes that stony heart away, then a proof of that heart of flesh is that there are those times that that heart is given to mourn, that their heart is so stony. The Lord has said in the Old Testament by the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 3 verse 22, "Oh, turn unto me, backslidden children, and I will heal thee." And now with the condition of that backslidden, then there are the causes, then there are the symptoms, and they are very similar. Because how does the church now become lukewarm? Oh, many times it begins that their prayer chambers, that they are not so filled. And now we read, oh, what a solemn word. And that is for exhortation, that is to awake that church in Laodicea, that they may come, if we may say it, that they may realize their sad condition, and that is that they may be enticed, that they may come to that marketplace by renewal, and to buy that gold and that clothing and that eye salve. And then Christ has said, "Because thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Then it shall be seen in the church, shall be seen by the world, that the Lord has a controversy with that people. And then we read in verse 17 that Christ has further declared their condition, "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Let us first sing. Psalter 231, the stanzas 2 and 3. "In grace thy people, Lord, return, nor longer let thy anger burn. Wilt thou forever angry be? Through ages shall thy wrath survive." And what follows, 231, 2 and 3. Thank you. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, then the question could be asked, but is it not better to be lukewarm than cold? Do we ever have trouble with our cold heart, congregation? Are we sometime even amazed and shocked that with all the Lord's mercies, that with all the Lord's speaking, maybe even a death, a funeral, and that his heart seems to be so cold and so stony. Sometime maybe you even think, how is it now possible that I can remain so cold? Would it then not be better to at least have a heart that is lukewarm and not completely cold? But Christ said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, but thou art lukewarm. Then Christ is saying, with that lukewarm heart, then we can still continue with our religion, maybe convictions that we had, still some impressions, and then we can continue without going to the market of free and sovereign grace to need and purchase that gold, that raiment, and that eyeself. Thus the meaning is that we have to be uncovered, we have to be emptied, we have to learn our coldness, our wretchedness, our poverty, that we either may be drawn or driven to that marketplace of free and sovereign grace. And to that end, then Christ has said in verse 17, and knowest not that thou art wretched. That wretchedness consists when there is not that blessed communion with God. That wretchedness consists in that separation, because also the child of God can speak of matters, but when they are not experienced and when they are not lived out, then they are so lukewarm. They are miserable, misery. That word that even has reference to separation, and further, that they are poor. How is that lukewarm church now poor? And there is a church that experiences how poor they are, and to that end, how precious that marketplace of free and sovereign grace. Ah, then the love of Christ, that in this letter to the church of Laodicea, because with that lukewarmness, then Christ does not hear that dove mourn and that dove cry. Then he does not hear the prayer of the publican in Luke 18, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Then there is much form, but the true exercises are so missing. And to that end, 'tis for the church of God, for the whole congregation, that by the first time, but also by renewal, that they are given to know miserable and poor. Ah, the spiritual teaches people that they are so poor. And when the church may come on the right place, then they do not become angry with this letter. But then they say, "Ach, Lord, is there another one upon the earth, a wandering sheep, so lukewarm, the prayer so prayerless, and the thanksgiving so thankless, than for the church of God?" Then it becomes a wonder that they may still have a place in the church. And then they learn all they have to acknowledge. And therefore, when we heard this letter, then maybe congregation, you thought, what a hard letter to that church. But the love of Christ as that faithful and true witness, because in this church, then Christ has seen that that marketplace, that there were so few visitors, that they were so busy with the things, the riches of the world, that they were so well satisfied, that they did not come as empty vessels, but that they could continue the way they were. And therefore the love of Christ to his church in the way of uncovering, "Thou art poor." How is that church now poor? Ah, they are poor in knowledge. They are poor in faith. Sometime examine whether it is the true faith. They learn that of self, they can bring forth nothing but unbelief. They are poor in love. They are poor in hope. Oh, for that church, we have heard from the letter to Ephesus about that first love, that it was so different. No, then they were not lukewarm, and then they were not cold. How fervent, how exercised they were, how the tears have rolled so easy. Oh, how often in church they had to do their best that their neighbor would not see their tears. Then many times when they came home, they had to go to secret places. But now a lukewarm church, then they are poor in their sorrow, in their tears, in their repentance. Ah, the list is long. And now for that poor people, then that marketplace where Christ counsels them to buy without money and without price, a people that is at the end of the earth. Thus do you hear, congregation, the love of Christ, that this church may be uncovered, that they may be shocked awake, and that they may come to that right place by renewal. And then tears shall begin to flow concerning their lukewarmness. Ah, they are poor in righteousness. They are poor in sanctification. Then for that people, then how precious that rich Christ becomes, where he has merited salvation for a poor and a needy people. But not, "Thou art wretched and miserable and poor." And then we also read a blind, a concerning, oh, they are so blind. And God's people learn on the school of Jesus that they remain in a lower class, that they shall never graduate. Oh, they hope that the beginning to go from strength to strength and to become wiser and wiser. But now it is a word especially to a lukewarm church, busy with the temporal life and the things of this life, much prosperity. There was not so much need for the Lord, for a raven. And now Christ says that thou art so blind, also concerning the attributes of God. Because how does the Lord teach his people who the Lord is? that is in the way of experience. How does the Lord teach them that He is mighty when they experience their own weakness, their own impossibilities, when there is true need? And then we could speak of all the attributes of God. Ah, they are blind concerning their condition of lukewarmness. They are blind concerning the precious things of the Lord. Because also in this church, there were people of God, different encampments, different conditions, but nevertheless, as a congregation, poor and blind and naked. And now the Lord, as a people that learn that they are naked in many ways, naked concerning the justice of God, naked concerning the enemies of the church, Satan and the world. Ah, do we not read of that bride? Oh, it is true. That bride in the Song of Solomon. What precious things we read of that bride. Oh, then she was not cold, and she was not lukewarm, but with vehement desire, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for his love is better than wine. Oh, in chapter 2, verse 3, as the apple tree is among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved, I sat under his shade with great delight, and his fruits were sweet to my taste. And oh, then what precious outgoings to read of that bride. But in chapter 5, after she was married, and the bridegroom has went on a long trip concerning the kingdom, and then he has returned and knocked on the door, and then she was laying on the bed of slothfulness, and she is not risen, and her beloved has departed. But oh, when that myrrh through that hole in the door, then she was stirred up, and then it has become different. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And how is it now with those five words, congregation? Have we now ever learned that we are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? Has it ever become reality, congregation? Have we ever learned to weep bitter and sweet tears of that separation and of that missing? Have we ever truly become unconverted? Has it become reality that we were given to see traveling on that broad way to eternity without God, without Christ, and without hope? Have we ever learned as a poor, as a miserable sinner at his footstool, to cry for mercy? Have we ever learned to ask whether there is a way for such a one, whether there is a way to be saved, whether there are those endurable riches, whether there is garments to clothe our nakedness, whether there is that I self that our eyes may be given to see more? Oh, then in our text, and that comes through the whole congregation, I counsel thee. That's that word thee. That comes to each boy and girl, each young person, middle-aged and elderly one. I counsel thee, because by nature we are so poor, so miserable, so wretched, so blind, and so naked. But then in this morning, the king, then he counsels the whole congregation. Oh, there has never come one to that marketplace of free and sovereign grace that has been sent away. The Lord is a surprising God. But now, people of God, what a solemn message to this congregation. How the people of God must have been shocked when they have heard the message of him who is the Amen, who was faithful and true, who has loved them even unto death, who was willing to sacrifice himself, has shed his blood, has cried out, "It is finished." And then to hear the message, "Oh, child of God, your condition, not cold, still have form and duty. You do not let Balaam, the Nicolaitans, and Jezebel to dwell in the congregation. We do not read in this letter that Christ has said that there was false doctrine, but child of God, not cold, not hot, lukewarm. If there's no change, must spew thee out of my mouth." What a solemn message to the child of God. "And knowest not, but now their thought," and that had to be uncovered, because in the beginning of verse 17, and that is their deluded opinion, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and of need of nothing." To that end, Christ has spoken those solemn words that by renewal, that they may be returned from their backsliding, that they may be revived. And therefore, the message for the whole congregation of Laodicea, but also the message for us and our children, all young and old, that marketplace is still open for each and every one. And therefore, the uncovering message, and that is for a purpose. Oh, when it shall not bring us to that marketplace, then it shall all rise up against us in the day of judgment. But in this morning, hour in this day, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, the Lord willing. Perhaps the coming Lord's Day we can continue. Amen. Let us close. Lord, it was a solemn, it was an uncovering, it was an ashaming, but also a message of love. That thou was sent to the congregation, and that message also cometh unto us, and may we be given to examine each our hearts how it is. Oh, when we are still so cold, may a divine ray of thy love penetrate our hearts, and then it shall become different. But, O Lord, there can be so much lukewarmness, and resting upon what the church has experienced and not so exercised, with the glory of thy name and with the coming of thy kingdom. Oh, wilt thou grant hearts that may be inflamed, that may be hot, that may be full of love and zeal for the things of the Lord, ach Lord. May it please thee to bring many, ah, we all need it, to the marketplace, and that we may be given to purchase that gold and that clothing and that thyself. Ah, wilt thou grant unto us and our children, as those brothers of Joseph, that when the sacks were empty by renewal, that they have went to Joseph, and we never read that they were sent away, ach Lord. Glorify then thy name in the midst of us and our children. Wilt thou watch over us in the furtherance of this Lord's day? Wilt thou in a special way remember and help the brother elders who were called upon to read a sermon? May it not be a must, may it also be a may. May they be given to taste of what they may read, and may thy blessing rest upon it. Wilt thou remember all those that may be a help during the services, and if it is right, then it should include us all in the way of prayer to be in a Aaron and a Hur. Wilt thou also go with us when we hope to serve other congregations? Wilt thou grant traveling mercies, keep us from sin and temptation? We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 69, the first four stanzas. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord, try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, nor from thy ways depart. And what follows, Psalter 69, the first four stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.